What's happening, y'all? This is Todd Wilson with another episode of Elevate Your Game. Today, we have former Division I basketball player and now the director of basketball and NIL for Reign Sports, Mr. KJ Smith.
How we doing?
Man, I'm great, man. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, we love to start this show with the Wall of Hoop movies. Your favorite hoop movie of all time and why?
I was looking around, so my favorite hoop movie is not on here, it's a newer one, Hustle. With Adam Sandler. And the reason why it's my favorite actually is because my dad was in it, obviously. He played an agent. Leon Rose was his name. He was like a big basketball agent. And the reason I loved it because I got to be a part of it. I actually flew out to Mallorca, Spain to be a part of the filming process and, you know, see my dad go to set every day. And, you know, talk with Adam, have dinners with Adam, and, you know, see them flip the switch. So I had a great time. And also just the movie in general, I thought it was a great basketball movie. You know, a lot of these older movies you see around, the handle and everything, you know, somebody shoots a jump shot and then it clips to somebody like a switch.
Or the pass to the cell from above the rim.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. But they had a lot of real hoopers in it. Yeah. And they made it to make sure that, all right, we're going to really make a good basketball movie with good basketball content. It looks real. Anthony Edwards talking trash. You know, it's just people being themselves, and I loved it.
Yeah, no, that was amazing. Is Adam Sandler as funny in person as he is on TV?
He's really funny, but he's one of those people where, you know, he is so himself and he doesn't get out of himself. Like, you know, you come into a podcast today, you're going to get a haircut, you're going to wear your best outfit, where, you know, him, he'll go to, you know, the White House in some shorts and a golf polo. He doesn't care, you know.
So I love it. When you have that much money, you can kind of do what you
do whatever you want, you know. You can do whatever you want.
Absolutely. And so first question is, when did you fall in love with basketball?
I fell in love. I mean, I've been a fan of basketball since an early age. My dad being who he is, and, you know, I was born with him being on TV, speaking about basketball. So I was always at basketball games, events, all-star games. I would say, honestly, I really fell in love with basketball going to all-star games early as a kid. Yeah. Just seeing all the, you know, the Kobe Bryants and LeBrons and, you know, even Darren Williams, and, you know, Darren Williams was my favorite player growing up. Dope. Steve Nash. I just loved going to all-star games, and I would get a basketball, and by the end of the weekend, every all-star would have signed my basketball. And so I just went around and got all their autographs. I just was a super, super fan of the game before, you know, I became a player.
And that's awesome. And that's a beautiful way to be introduced to basketball and to be in those spaces where, man, you get to see the best of the best compete against one another. So you didn't start. So your dad retired before he had you, or was like was
no?
There any
so
overlap?
He retired the year I was born. Okay. So I never got to watch him play or anything like that. But you know, always we have his tapes.
Right, you got YouTube.
Yeah, got YouTube. You know, wasn't. But I don't think I really sat down and watched a highlight tape of my dad until middle school.
Wow.
But he was always just seeing trophies around the house. But yeah, I think, remind me of your question again. I lost train of thought.
No, I think that kind of answers it. It's just you didn't see him play. And so I know I've worked with a lot of kids who had their dads in the NBA, but it was after they were done playing and they kind of didn't know what the world knew of their parents. Was that the case with you? Like, did you know your dad was as good as he was and, like, you know, Hall of Famer.
So I just knew him as mostly the TV guy, you know. So I knew he played and had, you know, the 10-year career, but I didn't know what he played like. I went to North Carolina. It wasn't until I went there where we extensively, not only do we watch film of, you know, the current team, but they'll go back. They have plays that, you know, the team my dad was on, he would run.
Wow.
And so they, when I went to North Carolina, we started watching old North Carolina tapes. And I was like, oh, I kind of do move like him a little bit. Like, I'm not jumping out the gym, but, you know, what his cadence is and the way he moves and walks, I was like, that kind of looks like me.
That's crazy.
So it was crazy to see that in real time. But, yeah, I've watched every YouTube Kenny Smith highlight there is and, you know, the finals games and stuff like that. Nice. Growing up, getting older. But I didn't watch it as a little kid.
Oh, man. So when did you start taking basketball seriously as a player?
I mean, I started playing when I was very young. I was in the YMCA League in Houston, and then my dad saw me play a couple times and started coaching me all the way up through, you know, high school, AAU. But what a lot of people don't know is I didn't really want to be in my dad's shadow. Like, I wouldn't come up and introduce somebody and say, hey, you know, my dad's Kenny Smith. I actually wouldn't tell anybody at my school, and that's how I kind of made – or that's really how I made genuine friendships. And it was every time somebody found out, it was through somebody else, and then they would come up to me and be like, oh, you're Kenny Smith's son? I'd be like, who told you, you know? I just really wanted to be my own person. And so it is hard when your dad's your AU coach, but off the court, you know, I wouldn't go around bragging about who I was. I just wanted to be a normal kid. And it wasn't until I got to North Carolina to where I was like, I'm just going to embrace who it is. You know, yeah. I am his son, and it's actually a benefit. It's not something that's going to hold you back at all. But not doing it in a braggadocious way, but doing it in a way to where, you know, I stand tall in who I am.
Yeah, you have the legacy, right? You hold the last name, and or his first and last name, and so that legacy is something. Like, you see it now with Bron and Bronny, right?
Yeah.
Kid is on his dad's team, you know? And so, like you said, there's some good pieces of that. But also, I guess what you were trying to avoid, not avoid, did you feel pressure being his son and playing basketball? Or is that what you were able to avoid by not telling people that you were his son?
I felt a little bit of pressure, but honestly, for me, and this may be different from any other NBA player's kids, for me, once I stepped on the court, I was on the court. When you're playing at North Carolina with 22,000, you know, fans watching, and you're going against Duke, it's not, oh, my dad's Kenny Smith also. It's like there's enough pressure already that, you know, is already instilled within the environment. So I didn't feel outside pressure because my dad, I don't know what it's like for him not to be my dad, you know.
Right, right.
I was born with him on TV. I've known that longer than him not being on TV. So I didn't feel pressure with that.
Yeah. And then moving in, so you came, you were in Houston, and then when did you move to California?
I moved to California when I was about 6 years old, 7 years old, and we moved to Santa Clarita and went to Legacy Christian.
Okay.
Up until sixth grade. Seventh grade, I went to Oaks Christian, 7th through 11th, and then my senior year, they had fired my coach. My first coach was Andre Chevalier, and then he went on to Sierra Canyon. And then my second coach, AJ Moye, they had just fired him.
After he won a state title.
Yeah, after a state title. and so we went, and you know how modern day plays, they bring their high school team to play AU. So yeah. We were in Vegas, and my dad was coaching me, and I might have had 30 points. Mm. And in the handshake line, Gary McKnight was like, man, you know, you should have sent your son to me a long time ago, you know, his freshman year. He's like, well, it's not too late. They just fired his coach. And so by that weekend, I was, you know, school started in 2 weeks. I had made the decision I'm going to modern day for my senior year. So it was a big decision. You know, you got to think of friends I grew up with since seventh grade,
yeah.
Going somewhere your senior year, you're missing out on prom, missing out on, you know, graduating with all your friends. But I made the jump, and that was the first big basketball decision I think I made in my life. And it was a great decision, you know, playing Gary McKnight, winning his California coach in California history.
Yeah.
Or winning his coach in California history. So I had a great time. You know, it was like a real experience of a basketball factory. Had Rex Pfluger on my team that went to Notre Dame. He was top 50 in the country. Michael Cage, 7-foot center. And then you go into the locker room, and you know, it looks like a college locker room. Then you go in the back, and he has like a Nike factory store in there. Wow. It was a great time. It was a great time.
No, modern day is different. That's
yeah.
For sure. Did the expectations get raised, and how did you raise to that level of being on a, you know, national level team like modern day?
Yeah, so the expectations are for sure raised because they had won 4 state championships in a row. And I was coming in, I was the best player on my team my junior year. And now I'm going into a space where, you know, I'm playing with ranked players for the first time on a consistent basis that all are shot hungry. And I was a guy that liked to shoot also. So it was, you know, fitting in and not wanting to step on people's toes, but also trying to make a name for myself. And so he brought me off the bench to start. And it wasn't until I was, you know, I had to have a conversation with my dad, like, you can't be scared to step on people's toes. You got to, you know, shoot. You got to be hungry. You got to, you know, watch the podcast the other day. It's like, you know, you got to be hungry. That's funny.
Oh, yeah.
But I had a great conversation with Isaiah Thomas, actually. And he told me, my dad had me talk to him, and that was my turning point. To where he was like, look, you go into the court, it's no longer your friends. It's, you know, you're really going to war. And you can't go in just to play basketball. You have to really try to disrespect somebody. And so that mindset got me into a different mode to get into my starting position. But it was an amazing time. It was an amazing time. And it was the first time I my eyes opened to high level basketball. And I've been a benefit to go to these great scenarios and positions because of who my dad is. And I've always, you know, been able to honor those opportunities by working as hard as I can.
Right. Yep. And then how hard is that? Like, I see a lot of times, this is just with kids in general, right? Understanding what hard work is. How were you introduced to hard work, and when did that take place in basketball?
I always worked hard. I think I have a great skill. And that I'm not comfortable just laying down and sitting on the beach. That's not me.
Yep.
You know, and you were probably like this as a hooper, if there was a day where I didn't go to the gym, like I would have an itch.
Yep.
You know, and that's the same thing with me now that I'm stopped playing. I have that same itch if I feel like I'm not doing something work related or I'm not pushing myself every day. And, you know, no matter how much money or how successful I get, I think I'll always have that itch just to always continue to grow and push myself and work hard in something, whatever capacity that is.
Do you think that's something that your parents ingrained into you, or where do you think that came from? Or is it like, do you think that's a natural thing, or do you think that's like ingrained?
I think it's a little bit of a natural thing. I think it's how I was raised. I'm a middle child, and I've always been a connector of some sort. So like any locker room I've been in, you know how every locker room has cliques. But I've always been the guy I'll go hang out with this group, go hang with this group. Now everybody's hanging out. I've just been that person. So I just feel like it's an innate ability I have to connect with people, and no matter who they are, where they're from. And I just really like working hard. It's a problem sometimes because I don't know when to chill, but it's something I like to do.
You'll find balance. I found balance in that when I met my wife. It's like she made me relax, because with her, she's laid back, she's at home, she's a gamer, and so she doesn't like being out in the, you know, social. So that's where I got my balance from, because I'm still like that. I'm outside, and she's like, no, if you want to spend time with me, you got to be home.
Yeah.
So you'll find that balance when you get married, and I think that's why it's so important to be married and have a woman who understands you and lets you be you, but also, hey, you gotta chill out sometimes. And
exactly.
you'll enjoy relaxing with someone, you know, a special someone, and then rather than that's work too, right?
Yeah.
So going, you told your high school phase, so AAU, you got to play for your dad, aim high. Still, I go work out at Santa Cruz Athletic Club.
Yeah, we got pictures.
Yeah,
on
you
the
guys
wall,
are all
yeah.
on the wall still. Man, what are the most enjoyable times that you remember through your AAU experience?
I had a great time just because I really grew up with all my teammates. So we didn't go into a big circuit until high school. So we had from, you know, fourth grade to, I would say, 10th grade, 10th, 11th, the same group of kids running the same type of plays, all the different options. All those kids you see on the wall, like Cam Carroll, Aston Beal, they were my teammates for, you know, 10 years.
Wow.
So it's like we had almost, you know, full careers together growing up. And Brandon Boyd, another one that's worked with you.
Yeah.
So it was just so fun because these are real friends that you would go over their house after practice.
Right.
And I cherish those memories so much because I remember having a 2-hour practice and then, you know, going to Cam's mom and saying, hey, you know, can I come over tonight? Or can Cam come over?
Yeah.
And he'd be like, you know, you ask my mom, because my mom will say yes to me. But I think I really enjoyed those times, because as you get older, it becomes more of a business. And, you know, you get to college and you have a 2-hour and 30-minute practice and you're like, I want to see everybody but these players and these coaches. Like, right. I want to go to my girlfriend or hang out with somebody else. So it's a fun time for it was a fun time for basketball for me.
Yeah, no, I try to let these kids know, like, this moment, especially in middle school, because he gets more serious in high school with recruiting and everything. Like, these are your best moments when you go on these AAU trips. Stop hopping teams.
Yeah.
Stay with your AAU. No college coaches are recruiting you in middle school. You know, like, have fun and enjoy this moment. These are going to be the most memorable times of your life, especially in middle school.
Yeah.
And then high school comes, and, you know, now there's moments on the court that you remember. Do you remember your best AAU game?
Best AAU game, I had 20 and a half.
Dang.
Best AAU game. I had a lot of great memories. We were down like 25 in the first half. Then we like came back slowly. Same tournament that Gary McKnight was when we played Modern Day. Like slowly came back. And then it was like a 2-point game. The coach, so my dad's the coach. And the other coach, I forgot, they were from the East Coast, but he was talking, you know, trash to my dad, like, oh, you know, you give him the calls because he's Kenny Smith. And he just, like, exploded. Then they started going at it. And so we slowly started coming back. And I ended up, we were down 2 with 2 seconds left, or, like, 1 second left. And my dad just told me, go get it. You know, he's like, it's not over, go get it. So I get it. They throw a bounce pass in. I'm at the 3-point line. Their 3-point line. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take one dribble, full court, half court shot, game winner.
Hit it.
Down 25. And yeah, we won. It was crazy. That's it was a showcase game. Those are, I think, my favorite AAU memories. And then Stanley's mom, you know, rest in peace, but she was watching the game, and it was a fun time.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
I love that. I love those moments. Is that on YouTube somewhere?
I gotta find it.
We gotta find that clip.
We didn't have Baller TV and all that, you know.
Right, it was easy to do. You would have been you would have went viral.
Yeah, something exactly. Like that now. Exactly.
Now you're recruiting. Did you kind of always know that you wanted to go to North Carolina, and was that just what it was? And
I didn't at all. So like I said, I didn't want to be in my dad's shadow at all. So mm-hmm. I didn't go to North Carolina game. I didn't do none of that.
Wow.
So I'll just tell you my basketball story. So after 7th through 11th, I told you Oaks Christian, 12th grade Modern Day, the only offer I had was Cal Poly, and they pulled it. Mm-hmm. And then I had a few others at Northern Arizona, but I didn't feel right. And Coach McKnight was really pressing me, or not pressing, but suggesting to go to prep school. I've never heard of it. Now it's more, you know, popular, but, you know, it's mostly on the East Coast, and especially for post-grad.
Right.
So he was like, look, you know, I think it could really benefit you. I had talked to a few guys that did it, and I ended up at IMG.
Okay.
And it was the best thing I could have did. Played with Jonathan Isaac, played with Demetric Trice and Aleem Ford, who both went to Wisconsin and had great careers playing overseas. Aleem just played in the Olympics against USA. Mind you, to say all of those guys on that team, you know, I still shot a lot, you know,
right.
I had to get my shots off, but, you know, just transformed my body. I was always able to shoot, but I didn't have the body for it. I wasn't toned. I never had a 6-pack, but there changed my whole diet. You're not eating fried foods. You're not, you know, eating out or doing anything like that. And you're working out 4 times a day. You have no choice but to get better.
Right.
And I did. And I had a stretch there where I had 6 games in a row with 30 points. And, you know, I actually send a couple of my clients down there now. I think it's the best place you can send a kid just because it's like a factory down there. But from there, still didn't have many offers. I think a big problem for me was I could shoot, but I didn't have the handle. You know, if I would have got held back in eighth grade and went to, you know, core prep, it would have probably changed my whole career trajectory. But, you know, I ended up doing it a post-grad year. And so from there, Damon Stoudemire came to me and said, hey, KJ, you know, I like you as a player. I have a spot for you. This is going to be my first college coaching job at a school called University of Pacific in Stockton, California. And I didn't know the school, but I did know that they had three kids from the Valley that went there. And one was went to Chaminade, or they had two kids from Chaminade and one from El Camino. Mm. And I knew them growing up. I played against them growing up. So I was like, hey, I'm in Florida. I'd love to go back to California.
Right.
And Damon, I trust you. So he's like, look, you're going to be a walk-on, and next year I'll have a scholarship for you. So the first game of Damon Stoudamire's college coaching career, I was the starting point guard as a walk-on.
Wow.
So it kind of shows you the hard work I put in, you know, to get there, because they did have another freshman guard on scholarship. Up and down freshman year, had games with 20 points, had games with DMPs, just, you know, freshman year.
Yep.
We had Gonzaga in our conference. We were up at halftime. It was a big deal. And they kept running a backdoor play against me and went up 10. You know, just stuff like that happened. But, you know, after the year, had a great time. Stockton at the time, I also have to mention this. It was ranked the 12th worst city in America at the time.
Whoa.
When I went there.
Dang.
Yeah, so it was, that just shows you what Stockton was like. So, but yeah, started my first game as a walk-on, up and down season, 20 points, did not play some games. And after the year, you know, Dame came to me and was like, look, it was a room of all the coaches and they had end of the year meetings. And, you know, they even kicked off some guys off the team. So I'm getting text messages like, oh, yeah, you know, they said they want me back, whatever. And then so I'm like, oh, I'm going to be on scholarship. They're kicking out, getting rid of all these kids. And Dame, room full of coaches, is like, KJ, we love you. You know, you're a great kid. You have great energy. We love your effort in practice. But next year we just won't have a scholarship for you, but we'd love to have you back. Mm. So it's like, damn, you know, another year, no scholarship. I didn't really know what it felt like to be on scholarship.
I said, why do you think that happened, though, if you had a decent freshman year?
I would say I had an okay freshman year. But truthfully, I don't know, you know, and I didn't care to, you know, I wasn't the guy to speak up for myself at that time. I was just like, okay, I don't know what that means anyway. I'm not paying it. And I didn't know what it felt like to be on scholarship. But it did hurt. So,
you mean it hurt? What hurt about it?
So there is always this, you know, a stigma of being a walk-on, no matter, you know, you could play a whole game. And I didn't like it, you know. So yeah. I just felt like I should have been. But it also made you reflect on your performance during that time and said, maybe if I would have performed better, then I would have got that scholarship.
Yeah.
So talked to my dad and he said, you know, now we got to get the fuck out of there. So, and I love Damon till this day. I see him all the time.
Yeah.
So he called Roy Williams and said, hey, Roy, you know, we have a lot of coaches in the Carolina family tree that are coaching at different places. Do you know anybody that needs a point guard? And he was like, well, Kenny, he's walked on somewhere already. Why don't you have him, you know, join the Carolina family? I was like, really? I was like, well, let me ask him. So my dad asked me. I said, no, I'm not doing it. And then my mom,
I got to give you a pause. So these are my first AAU jerseys. We, like, this is in Corona, the IE, but you see their model.
The Tar Heels,
North Carolina. Like, for you to say no to any type of spot in North Carolina hurts my soul, but I get it at the same time.
But you have to realize, understand. At that point in my life, I wasn't introducing anybody. Unless somebody told you, I wasn't telling you my dad was Kenny Smith.
That's why you go.
I was trying to keep it. Like, people, he would come to the game and people were like, yo, your dad's Kenny Smith. If you were not on the team, you know?
Yeah.
And that's just who I was.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And then I didn't think I would be. I'm like, they had just won a national championship. I was like, I'm not that. I'm not that. You know, I know that's not me. I'd never been to a game. Wow. And so
you said
I talked,
you were talking to your mom. Yeah.
So I talked to my mom. My mom and dad met at UNC. She majored in journalism. And she was like, you have to do it. You know, my grandma lives there. And she was like, this is it. This is, you know, pray about it. This is like going to be so big for you. You know, I was just remembering being, you know, a walk-on. And I was like, I can't imagine just being on the bench the whole game. It was just like a lot. I'm looking up workouts, they're running up hills and doing all types of stuff preseason. I was like, I'm not in this shape. So I go on a movie date and it's like a first date and I get a call about a week later. It's a Chapel Hill area code. And I run out the movie theater. I'm like, this can only be one person or right. somebody from over there. And I answer, and it's like, KJ? I was like, how you doing? Who's this? He's like, KJ, this is Roy Williams. He's like, how you doing, coach? He's like, you may not know me. I was like, coach, I know who you are.
Right.
He's like, all right, well, you know, we just won a national championship, and Joel Berry was our most valuable player. And, you know, I don't promise anything. I don't promise 5 stars playing time or anything. But I will say this. For you, Joel Berry was our most valuable player. If he gets a steak, you'll get a steak. If he gets a pair of shoes, you'll get a pair of shoes. If he gets the nicest Jordans, you're gonna get them. And that I was sold.
Wow.
I was sold. And so I ran back in the movie theater and I was like, hey, I don't think this is gonna work.
I gotta go.
Yeah, so basically told him, you know, I'd love to come. I would love to be there. And that first week was eye-opening. So I went, and it was probably 3 weeks after they won a national championship.
Oh,
March,
wow.
Or no, it was a month and a half after they won it. A month and a half is when I reported to campus for like summer school. And it had felt like I won. We would go up, and Theo Pinson put me under his wings first day on campus. And he's showing me around, taking me to all the old spots, and people were just coming up to Theo like, hey, thank you. I'm like, what is he talking about? Like, oh, we won a national championship, everybody.
That's what
happened. Yeah, it is like everybody, you know. And then we would go to parties, and Joel Berry was another one. And, you know, you're Joel Berry, and I'm right here. And, you know, just a line of people looking to take pictures and get autographs from him. And he's still in college, you know.
Sheesh.
There's a line.
Love it.
And then I'm just right here like, yeah, I'm just, this is my guy. Yeah, yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, me, KJ, this, you know. And then first day at actual school, there was a sports and business class. And it was about 150 people in the class. And they had a guest speaker. And the guest speaker comes and says, hey, you know, I just want to let you guys know I'm an LSU guy, but I'm a big North Carolina guy. And the biggest heartbreak of my college basketball fandom career of Carolina is this clip right here. And he shows my dad going up for a dunk. And then he got thrown out the air.
Mm.
They were in the Elite Eight. They were about to go to the Final Four. And he broke his wrist when he landed. He's like, if Kenny Smith would have stayed healthy, they would have won a national championship. And then everybody in the classroom just looks at me. I was like, I didn't tell anyone. Who's telling you guys this, you know?
See, we had Google back then.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. So for him to say that, and he didn't even know I was in the classroom, I was like, this is exactly where I need to be. You know, this is God telling me this is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
But when I went to North Carolina, it was an unbelievable experience. You talk about, you know, raising the level of play. I got to redshirt. And every day I was going against practice against Joel Berry, 5-star in high school, was in his senior year, most valuable player, Final Four, Theo Pinson, number one player in the country, Jaleek Felton, 5-star, and I had no sub. So it was just me every day. And got to play the next year. It was Kobe White, top 5 player in the country. And, you know, I wasn't even paying attention to high school rankings. These kids would just come in. And so I had a cockiness about me this time because I had just played against Joel Berry all year. I'm like, Kobe, I'm gonna cook you in practice every day. And I'm still friends with Kobe to this day because of that mentality I had where I was like, Kobe would go at me, I would try to go at him. He won a lot more times than I win. But it was a great time. Played with 10 pros, the best cards in the country. Cole Anthony came the year after that. Ended up, when Cole got hurt, I earned a scholarship and ended up starting. So it was a great experience that propelled and trajected me to a whole new height that I didn't expect, you know, once I made that decision.
Man, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing what one person can do, right? That call from Roy Williams
yeah.
to let you know that he wanted you there, right? And not just like, oh, go there because I went there, son, that type of thing. It's like that phone call from him changed that. And so that's one thing. And then, man, when you just let go, right? And let the process happen where you end up.
And how crazy is this? So, and you're a Tar Heel guy. So my first year, this is all divine timing. I saw them win a championship. Yes, I would have loved to win a championship, but I had a great 4 years. My first year there, Kendall Marshall, who was my favorite Tar Heel. Anytime somebody asked who was your favorite Tar Heel, it wasn't my dad, it was Kendall Marshall. He came back to school and he also started coaching and he worked me out every day. Just me. Like, I was his, like, project of, like, who he can make better. And when I tell you, I felt like one of the best. I felt like an elite guard. I felt like, you know, and that's how I got to the position. I almost started, I almost played. Seventh Woods was going through some trouble. I almost played in the Duke game at Duke, and it was going to be my third game playing at UNC. So it was a great time. But I started against Gonzaga when they were number one in the country, played against UCLA in Vegas. My first game was at Wofford. I started, went, and we played in the old arena in Carmichael as like a throwback game.
Yeah.
So it was fun times. It was fun times. A lot of stressful times, you know. But
I say, what is it like playing in the ACC?
It requires a lot of, you know, focus and attention. So my first year, we had Cam Johnson, Luke May, Kenny Williams, and Joel Berry and Theo. And we smacked everybody. I think we were preseason number 3, and we had so much time. So I would come in as like the walk-on. I would come in the last whatever minutes of the game, you know, mm-hmm. some the scrub minutes, whatever. We were beating the people by so much. I would come in with 5 minutes left and we're up by 30. Right, or up by 15 or 18, you know, it's a, you know.
Yeah.
So the first 5 games, I didn't miss a shot. And I was averaging, like, the first 5 or 6 games, I was averaging, like, 7.8, and which was actually more than our starting shooting guard. I was averaging more than our starting shooting guard just because I was in there, and I came in, and I was like, all right, this is my time. I'm on the biggest stage, yeah. and I'm making the most of every minute. And I didn't miss until we played Michigan at Michigan. We got blown out, and I got 5 minutes the other way to where it was like, all right, Jordan Poole is still in the game, and, you know, you got to guard Jordan Poole, and it was a different time. It wasn't as fun as being up, but... Yeah, I had a great experience.
Man, that's awesome. Didn't you ever think about playing pro?
I did think about playing pro, but I just felt like something else was calling for me. It was right after COVID, and that last COVID year was so hard, just trying to operate in a system where we're truly staying 6 feet apart. We couldn't go, the whole college experience was flipped upside down to where you no longer could, you know, even be out at a restaurant, or you couldn't, you know, go to class, and you couldn't. I just didn't expect myself to continue to do this in another country, and you know, the salaries was something that kind of threw me off. I was like, okay, I've been away from my family for 4 years. You know, we live in LA, so you see the lifestyle that we have. And, you know, going to All-Star Weekend and being a part of my family's life, seeing my little brother who's a junior in high school now and 6'6".
He's 6'6 now?
Yeah, he's 6'6".
I saw he got little muscles on him too.
A little bit. He needs to do more push-ups. But, you know, he was in fifth grade at the time and he was going to sixth grade and middle school. I was like, I don't want to miss any more of that. Because I had, for 4 years, I would only come home for at most 3 days at a time. So I just wanted to come back and reevaluate, okay, how can I do business in basketball?
Yeah.
And I had a great start during COVID, actually. Me and my dad launched Jet Academy, which was a virtual basketball camp. Yeah. And on the premise that, you know, he does a basketball camp in Chapel Hill every year for the last 25 years. We have 600 kids stay overnight for a week.
Wow.
This year we couldn't do it. If we just did the same thing, you know, on a global level, universal level, anybody could come, no matter, you know, they don't even have to stay overnight. And you could always learn a tip or two online. So started that, and then that got my business mind flowing. And so my senior year actually was, after basketball season ended, I was writing articles for a company you now know called On3.
Oh, yeah.
But before I was their first basketball hire. So I was writing articles. Kids would commit on, I would go share live. They would, 5-star kids would commit to Florida on my Instagram live. And then the owner, Shannon Terry, was like, KJ, there's this kid we have that's really good in football. And you know, like he, any recruit that's about to commit somewhere, he knows where they're gonna go. So he has all the inside source because he's making the edits for him. I was like, oh, well, in basketball, we have one of those. It's called Joe Tipton. You need to hire him. So I brought Joe Tipton to on three, and now he's like, you know, this mega. He's gonna be the next Woj.
Yeah.
And so it was a cool upbringing, and then agent came to me and said, hey, you know, I see you writing articles online. You know, your dad's a broadcaster. Do you have any interest in doing it on TV for ESPN? They're looking for somebody for ACC Network. I was like, I'll stop writing these papers today. Please get me out of here. It was like 30 papers a month. But I was good in school, but yeah. It was just, I like talking rather than writing stuff down.
Social.
I felt like once I had that article done, it was so much work and I had so much connect, it was just gone, you know? So went to ACC Network. I was the youngest broadcaster on the team. And it was the year right after I had played. So I had I had a great insight because for the last 4 years, I do all the ACC, inner workings and players. And so I was broadcasting with guys I played with and played against and coaches
I did not know that part.
Yeah. So I was the youngest broadcaster. I did it for a year. And that same year, UNC ended up going to the Final Four. So it was a great year for ACC basketball. Went to the Final Four and broadcasted the Final Four table. I brought my dad on from the ESPN table. And so it was a great experience. It was a great experience. But I was always learning for more. TV wasn't for me. This is actually one of the first interviews I've done since I stopped doing. Might be the first interview I've done since I stopped
Why,
doing.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
ESPN. But I went and got my agency license. I was like, you know, just in case. I was flying from California to Bristol, Connecticut once a week. And I would take the red eye. I'd leave at midnight, land at 6 a.m., drive 2 hours to Bristol, and then take a nap, go on at 5 p.m., get off at like 10. No, I'd go on at like 6 p.m., get off at midnight, and then study for like 2 hours for my agency test, wake up at 5 a.m. to the airport, drive home. So that's why I'm saying I'm wired a little different to where it's just like, you know, I didn't mind working, but it was lonely, and the TV wasn't fulfilling for me. It just wasn't me. And so I went to All-Star Weekend and I got a tap on my shoulder, and an agent from Wasserman was like, hey, you don't know me, but I know you and your family. I see you on TV doing ACC Network. Keep doing your thing. I was like, oh, who are you? It's like, oh, I'm an agent, Wasserman. This is my client, Evan Mobley. About to be Rookie of the Year.
Is it Joe?
Yeah, it was Joe. And I was like, well, I want to do what you do. And like a month later, I was integrated into the Wasserman system, and Joe did a great job of, you know, really, you know, opening the door for me and the behind the scenes of business, and you know, going into it was eye-opening in the sense that I always saw the basketball light as talent first and saw my dad's point of view, but I never realized that there could be an overarching and visible hand that controls everything. To where, you know, there's a reason these trades happen, and it's not because the player is saying, hey, you know, I want out. You know, there's a lot of guys that really control the NBA, and you've been around them, you know, and you don't need to be the loudest person in the room.
Not at all.
But there's a guy that you've never even known that has a Richard Mille on, and he's got his sleeve covered, but he's really the agent behind everything that's happening. So I fell in love with it. I was like, this is me. And so for the last 3 years, I've been doing that.
Man, that's awesome, man. Just the transition of being a hooper, knowing that you wanted to get into business, and kind of stumbling upon journalism and then broadcast journalism, but then flipping that into being an agent. I don't know many people have done that route to become an agent.
But it's interesting, too, how I got here, because at every stage of where I'm at, I've never looked at something else. Like when I was even at the end of the bench of North Carolina, I was just like dumb, naive, and stupid, which you have to be to wake up every day and practice 3 hours and really, you know, give it your best effort. Yeah. And I just thought I was going to be in the NBA, you know, or play professional.
Yeah.
And so I trained every day like I was going to do that. And then when I got to On3, you know, thought I was going to be there for 30 years, you know. So, but I truly feel like I have found a home and agency, and I feel like I'm not going anywhere else.
Right.
Yeah.
No, man, you've been doing well silently, right?
Like, yeah,
the way you move. So have you were with Wasserman for a while?
Yeah, I was with Wasserman for 2 years, and then mm-hmm. now I'm at Range Sports, director of basketball. Awesome. Big factor for me was being able to, you know, be a director and, you know, having a basketball conversation. There's not a basketball conversation that happens at my company of 207 people that isn't involved with me. And be able to build something and bet on yourself. And Joe will tell you, it was not easy. I cried like a baby when I left. You know, Joe was like a big brother. But it was something that I really look back on, and I'm happy I did.
What would be the first thing you would tell somebody who's looking to be an agent that would give them a jump start?
I was looking to be an agent, I would say go to every major event possible, like, and whether it's in not even basketball, but just if go to where are they starting at? Or like college?
So yeah, they graduate in college, they play basketball.
Yeah, so I would say if you're in college right now, I would be integrated into your sports team in some way to mm-hmm. where, you know, you're a manager of the team, or you figure out some way where you can work out with the team. Mm-hmm. And if not, if you run into players on the team on campus, say, hey, you know, I'm looking to be an agent, but right now I just want to be, you know, of service to players. I want to be around players. Let me help make your schedule. Let me help you do this type of thing. Or, you know, help just organize their life and provide value in some way. Because later down the road, those players are going to be at the agencies and going to want somebody that's, you know, in their corner, because a lot of these agencies have a lot of players that they need to service. Yeah. And they end up hiring a friend of yeah. one of the players or something like that. So if you can work your way in that way, I would say do that. You have to network with, you know, the players on your campus first, because you're not going to really run into in any other scenario that many athletes
right.
in one, you know, in one standing.
No, absolutely. What has been when you decided, only 2 years of being an agent, to going to be a director? And that, if I'm not mistaken, this to be like the first time they had a basketball division at Range?
Yes.
Yeah, with you.
Yeah, so we helped launch the basketball division. So for me, it was big because I'm not siloed and just being basketball. It's basketball, media, and, you know, gaming and anything else. I have all those resources and marketing, of course, around me to where, you know, I'm not just siloed in one department and, you know, I can't focus on anything else, because, you know, I did have a media background in TV, and I did, my major was communication and sports administration. I double majored, and just bringing all of those things in one roof and being able to, you know, use the leverage that my dad has with all of his media star power. And, you know, he came on as a client, and he wasn't my first one.
Wow.
So I managed my dad, I managed Paul Pierce, and a lot of NIL athletes as well. One just was named top 20 in the country, number 2 combo guard, Jamal Jones Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Another Jake West, 1.6 million followers on TikTok, so he's a big marketing client, but also a really great hooper.
Nice, a hooper, yeah.
Kevin Thomas out of Florida, he's going to be top 50 in his class at least, minimum. A lot of dogs coming up, you know, so a lot of guys I'm proud of, and I can't name all of them.
Right, right, right.
But I think for me, for certain clients, it's worth having the 360 of, you know, for my dad, when I come in, there can be an unscripted agent that walks up to me in the office and says, hey, do you want to have your dad do, you know, this speaking opportunity or this, you know, cameo in the movie Hustle? And as well as, you know, having an agent come up to me and say, hey, Paul Pierce, does he want to do this unscripted show called Stars on Mars, where he goes to Australia and he gets, you know, high mid six figures, and he lives with Ronda Rousey and, you know, sure, what's the guy, Richard Sherman, and you know, it's just like, they get booted off. It's just all this crazy stuff that wouldn't come across our basketball desk. Yeah. But at the same time, staying true to what's me and being able to go to high school basketball games and just watch basketball and recruit. So I felt like it was an unbelievable opportunity to grow with a company. It was, I would say, less than half of what it is now. I think we had 89 employees, now we're 207.
And that's in a year?
That's in 2 years, yeah. Oh. So it was an unbelievable experience. It's been an unbelievable experience, and I hope and pray I'm here for a long time doing it. And just watching and building a brand has been amazing. And it's not been easy at all. I've had, you know, at Wasserman, it wasn't easy at all. You know, we had times where, like, me and Joe, we flew to New York to see a client, and or I was flying from here to New York, and Joe's flying from Canada with Shea Alexander, and we go to meet this client, and or potential client, high school kid, and his dad's like, "Hey, there's too much traffic today. Like, let's do it next week." "I can't do it next week, sir." "All right, we'll see you."
So y'all just chilling in New York for a
night.
Yeah.
So a lot of for nothing.
Right.
And then that goes against your expenses and all that other stuff. But, you know, a lot of those things I used to take personal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you really have to develop thick skin and understand that, you know, business is not personal, even though it feels like it sometimes. Yeah. But you just gotta keep moving.
Absolutely. The best knowledge that you could give to kids now about NIL.
About NIL, I would say do your research and build a team around you. Understand you don't have to do it alone, and you don't need to do it alone. A lot of, you know, families feel like they need to do it themselves, but I would say it's important to hire somebody that is educated, no matter who it is, in the space, and understand that it is a well-educated source that you're going to. And when you go to hiring an agent, also make sure that it's somebody that you can look at as a mentor to your young son or daughter.
Love that. I love that mentor piece. Yeah. Because they need to be able to teach you what they're doing for you, as well as, you know, be your support system.
And the best thing you can do is to come to Range Sports. No.
The shout out. Yeah. I love it. Man, I have to ask, two more questions for you. Yeah. One, what was the toughest time on this journey through it all? Let's say from the time high school and going to modern day until now, what was the toughest time in your life and how did you get through that?
The toughest time, so I would say I was at North Carolina and I had been 2 years of kind of just playing at the end of games, and I ended up starting. The first game at Wofford, I played well, but we lost. And the second game we played Gonzaga, we got smacked. And the third game, we as a team played well, but I played bad, and I had blood blisters on my feet. Like, it was just, you know, I had that season, I had hurt my wrist, so I wasn't comfortable shooting, which was my whole game. But at that point, I became a good floor general. But you can't just be out there and not shooting. And that was the toughest point in my career, because I had worked so hard to get to that point and I underperformed. Mm-hmm. And then I lost it to where it was like January 1st, we came back Christmas break, January 1st, they didn't play me at all. And they had started putting me back on the bench. And then it wasn't until February we started playing like NC State and teams like that, to where they started playing me like spot minutes again. And I got my confidence. I started shooting, you know, backdoor layups, getting easy buckets. But that was the toughest part. Excuse me. That was the toughest part for me, just because I knew I had worked so hard. And I got there, and the confidence in certain areas of my game, I lost. Mm. And it wasn't until the summer, so that COVID summer, I made it a mission to work as hard as I possibly could to where that never happened again. And like, I was running 4 miles a day. I was shooting twice a day. And I was lifting, and this is during COVID. You know, a lot of the stuff these kids are probably doing now. But
Not like in college.
Yeah.
People don't understand the beast that it is when you go to college. Like,
yeah.
The different type of shape. Like, you think the stuff you do in high school is crazy.
Yeah.
Wait till you do a hell week or yeah. 2 weeks.
Exactly. So reflecting to, like, when it was hell week, I was coming in first in every single sprint, every single everything mm-hmm. I came in first in, to where, you know how people, my freshman year, I was, like, on the, you know, on your knees, people are falling out doing some of this stuff. Like Carolina Hell Week is not, it's a whole month actually. The guy Jonas Oration is an amazing trainer. He trained Jordan, but like I'm running backwards. I'm making it a point to, you know, I came back six pack shredded. I made it a point to let everybody know I'm not here to play. However, that same year we had the number one point guard in the country. Caleb Love come in, and also RJ Davis.
Oh.
So there wasn't many minutes.
North Carolina, all time.
Yeah, they were like, we're glad to have you, you know, but we don't need that anymore. You know, we're making a change. But it was great for my mental just to be able to compete at a high level and play with those guys. And, you know, for those who don't know, both of those point guards have now been named Player of the Year in their respective conferences. So you're talking about the super, super elite right. talent coming in every single year.
Yeah.
But if I hadn't had that mindset even in the summer, I wouldn't have been ready to compete against them every day.
Right. Awesome. And then the second question is, what skill do you have that you're not using that you should be using more?
What skill do I have that I'm not using?
Yeah, that you're really, really good at that you're not using.
Yeah, I would say being more open to do stuff like this. Like I was looking at the first text you sent me, because you're also a coach and you do a little bit of recruiting. So the first message you sent for me to do this was in July. And I looked at it and I was like, I don't know if I should, you know, I don't know if I'm ready to really talk about anything. But really, it's this is getting out your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad you stayed persistent about that and continue to text me and continue to obviously do your podcast and have viral videos and everything like that. But I don't like talking about business much, which you shouldn't. But I think I would love for myself to be more out there and really let people know and really advertise myself, because I do think I do a great job.
Kendrick said it best. Sometimes you got to pop out and show.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so, like, I think it's important for people to know what you like. Even me, like, I've learned so much just from sitting here. Like, I knew what you did, but I didn't know. And it's, you know, I'm sitting here in the middle of Talent Central with all these kids in LA. Like, man, I'd love to send kids your way and, you know, at least give them an opportunity to see what you have to offer. And now, for real, like, man, your journey of just saying yes, right, to, oh, that's a good opportunity, and putting yourself in position to get to where you wanted to get to is impressive. And it's, you're just starting. Like, that's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
You're just starting. So.
Yeah, I have teammates, or colleagues, I should say, that, you know, there was a good quote I saw yesterday to where, what was it? It was, you'll always grow. Oh, it's okay to feel like the smallest in the room, because that means there's opportunity to grow.
Mm, yeah.
And every day when I go into the office, it's like our guy in marketing, Lowell, you know, $500 million worth of business in marketing, 25 years at CAA. You know, our CEO, Pete Michelli, was Will Smith's agent and then left CAA to make his own company.
Wow.
And, you know, I got Kyle, our football agent, who's Brock Purdy's agent, went to the Super Bowl last year. Like, just seeing all of this, you know, unfold in real time is really inspiring and really, you know, pushes me to go further. So I'm excited for our growth in basketball. We've made huge strides, and, you know, our best years are ahead of us.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to hop into the next segment, My Rushmore. So we'll talk about your top four. Man, you're a journeyed man through the ACC, the top four places you've played.
I'll say, and it's not just ACC, but it's this globally. So I got to play on a USA Select team that went to Greece.
Oh, man.
And being able to travel, I think traveling is my favorite thing to do. So I was able to do that. My second favorite outside of, we're going outside of UNC and Duke. UNC, I love it. Duke is obviously Duke. Is Syracuse.
Yeah.
Playing in the football dome is just an unbelievable experience. I think it just threw me, it threw me for a loop. Sold out game, there was about 50,000 there. And it was the last home season, home game for Syracuse. They had Jimmy Fallon courtside. There's a booster at Syracuse that just has a bunch of famous people come every game. He'll fly them in from New York on a helicopter from the city. So we're warming up, and it's Jimmy Fallon, The Rock, Tom Brady.
Wow.
Nuts. During a timeout, Jimmy Fallon goes to the band and tells the orchestra leader, move over, and he's going like this. It was this crazy, crazy experience. So that's two. Let me see where else we have played. Any March Madness experience, it's like the best thing in the world. It's okay. The best thing. Everybody's watching.
Yeah.
We played Auburn, and my dad was calling the game.
Oh, man.
Then I got in at the end, and then like I just tried to make a play just because I knew they were watching. And then it was North Carolina Auburn, and Charles was on set, so they bet again. It was just fun. It was the whole environment was funny. They put me on TV before the game.
Oh, that's awesome.
Let me see my last one. Miami. So we play in Miami in December. And during that time, it's snowing in North Carolina. It was my first time going to Miami to play at Miami. And we got there at midnight the night before. Couldn't really tell. It was really hot, but I was, you know, I didn't know. Until the next day, we woke up, and it was this perfect weather. And all the walk-ons are pretty much just in the pool chilling. And Roy's out by the pool chilling too. But we used to lift before every game, and then we got in the pool before the game. And I was just like, life doesn't get better than this, you know.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That is so dope. I love where basketball can take you and the experiences it gives you. My four are a little bit different.
Yeah, let's hear it.
360 Health Club. I got buckets in the gym. So I was a late bloomer, okay? I didn't get good until after college. And that's why I have like respect in basketball is because of my years at 360. I used to get people buckets.
Yeah.
And these are like pros and, you know, like that's where Gilbert Arenas, like I first met Gil. I played in an adult league. I ripped him and dunked the ball. I didn't dunk on him, but I ripped him and dunked it. Next play, he nutmegged me and got like 40 on me. But he just respected my game there and like a bunch of the OGs in the game. And so 360 Health Club will always have a piece of my heart. That gym is gone now. It was a freaking, I think like, who's it? Will Chamberlain used to work out there. Like,
oh, wow.
It was like, yeah, it was cool. So amazing place to play. Where else was cool? Hutchinson Community College in Kansas. So I played out there. So Hutch is like where they have the national tournament for junior college. And so playing there was pretty cool. It's just a, you know, big junior college stadium, but it's the energy in there is crazy. And so especially when you're in a small town in Kansas, like those gyms are full of everybody who lives there. So one of those small town feels. Shepherd Church, yep, good games there. But see, it's a cool thing. So I played in the All-Star game. Drew Holiday was having his camp. And so I'm like, it wasn't a dunk contest. It was a dunk off with Paul George, Reggie Jackson, Drew, Justin Holiday. And I was, you know, that's when I had my bounce still. So I was in the dunk off with them, like just doing dunks for the kids. So cool experience. And last, probably my high school. Santiago High School, just because it was, you know, out in Corona. So, brand new gym. It was like a brand new high school at the time when I was there. So, brand new gym. Love that place.
But I think that's what it's important because everybody has their own basketball identity.
That's it.
And, you know, I had more fun, you know, probably playing my cousin in the backyard at some of these moments, you know.
Yeah.
But we can all relate to it. It's a game that everybody, it's a beautiful game, you know. You can learn so much from somebody by watching how they play or playing with somebody. But it would be funny to interject you into, like, I always do this scenario with my brothers, like, all right, you throw you into the middle of a Duke game, top of the key, you know, game on the line, what do you got to do, you know?
Oh, it's easy. I'm going to pound, step back, That's my go-to.
Pound, step back?
Yeah, I'm letting it go.
So you can shoot.
I'm streaky. I'm a streaky shooter. When I'm hot, watch out. When I'm cold, don't guard me.
But isn't it a crazy feeling? Like, even when you make or miss a certain shot, you can still tell if you're off.
Yes. It's like, something feels wrong in your body.
Yeah.
It's like my soul hurts.
Like, in my soul, I feel like that wasn't right, you know?
100%.
Or even when you miss a shot, and it's such a crazy ability and feeling.
Absolutely.
What else we got?
Next segment is Fix the Net, okay? A misconception about KJ Smith that you want to make straight.
A misconception. Am I supposed to?
After you, say it.
I don't know. I'm not like a big media person, and like, you look up my name, there's not, you know, a bunch of articles. Like, I don't know. I would say, I don't think I pay attention enough to what other people say about me to know. I'm kind of focused on my own path.
Your dad helped you to get to where you're at? Or is the reason that you're at where you're at?
I would say that is a misconception. I think I am blessed that he has put me in great opportunities, but I thrived in the places that he put me in. And, you know, he didn't put me into agency. That's something I made on lane, and I'm actually telling him a lot about the stuff that I know now, now that I do manage him. But that's something that, you know, came off an opportunity that I sourced on my own. So I would say it's not a misconception, but I think more of a blessing that he's been able to do that, because I'm not going to sit up and tell you that, you know, I got everything on my own and I got it out the mud. I'm a very blessed kid that works very hard, and, you know, just fortunate that I have the ability to say that I do both.
Yeah, no, I think it's important to know that usually when someone's, you know, that generation who actually makes money and is super successful, that next generation usually screws it up.
Yeah.
And you're not screwing it up. You're carrying on that legacy with your hard work, your focus, and that difference in you to, like, hey, I'm just going to work. And so, man, that's... Absolutely.
100%.
Now you can dunk it. Awesome. This is where we flip the script. You become the interviewer, so you can use your broadcasting skills from before. Two questions for me.
All right. Let's see. So your Instagram is Todd Has a Plan. Mm-hmm. What is your ultimate plan? And that you could tell us. You know, maybe it's a master plan. You don't want to tell anybody. But.
Just the direction I'm moving in is to do this a lot more, or continue to do this. My goal in life is to help anyone and everyone reach their full potential. And so basketball is the space that I'm most active in doing that. But as I move, you know, further and further along with just developing myself spiritually and just my, you know, intangible skills, just being like a peak performance coach, like, how do we make you the best you, you know, and whoever I'm around, that's what I've been doing. And there's opportunities that are coming from that. And so however that looks, like, my dream would be like LeBron James retires and I'm telling LeBron, like, hey, this is how we maximize the rest of your life now that you're not playing basketball. I'm sure he has it all set up, right? He's a genius, but that would be like a dream. It's like, hey, now how do we impact all these people with what you've built over this time and the influence that you have? How do you really reach people and show them, give them hope, give them faith, give them all the stuff that really matters, right? And so that would be the ultimate plan.
Well, I hope that I hope LeBron listens to this and gets that, because I mean you do seem like a very sound person that you could bounce ideas off of. And whether that be LeBron, but I mean, I'm gonna do that now. So just know you might get.
No, absolutely. No, I'm very good at starting people's dreams. Like Karina had a dream. She didn't know what to do with it, and I just, like, oh, this is like what's complicated in some people's minds is very simple to me. It's like, oh, you want to be an agent? Exactly what you did. Go find an agent and just go follow him for 2 years. That's simple.
Yeah.
Like, and so, no, that's, please. I'll be happy to encourage anything you got. So
for sure.
Second question.
Second question. What has been the experience for you working along the pros? And what is something that they have that you see that a lot of the kids in high school don't have?
Athleticism and size, you can't teach it. Like, most of the pros are just these freak athletes, man. It's, you know, and for the ones who don't, because I think that's more important to say, is their professionalism. They're pros in every sense of the word. They, the way they move about their day, the way they move on the court, and they find their role. I think that's important for everybody in life. We talk about a lot in basketball, right? Being a role player. But if I find my role inside of an organization and I maximize that role, then I become very valuable. And so the guys who are in the NBA, what, 90% of them are role players, and they figured out their role and they don't leave it, even though they're capable of doing so much more. And so those are the things that I see, is that they just fulfill their role and they do it very, very well.
Okay. Yeah. Why, and then I guess this is the last one I have for you. Why should every kid before going to high school consider corporate?
If you are serious about being a college player, it is the best place to develop it, because we don't just do basketball. You go get basketball anywhere. It's the holistic approach that we take with the kid, that we're developing their leadership, their mentality, their physicality, along with the basketball or sports skill. You know, we have seven different sports that we offer. And then the competitiveness, like, we have the kids who want it. You're around like-minded people, right? We want it. Your income is reflected by the five people you're closest with. That's what's happening in core, is like, your game is going to project according to the people you're around, and everybody in there wants it. We've, over these 10 years, we've been able to kind of, I want to say select, we've been able to select the kids who really want it. And so that's what you're getting when you step into there. Almost every sport is like that now, where it's we have three kids getting recruited by colleges in eighth grade for football right now. We have three All-Americans, Team USA All-Americans, in our baseball program in the last 2 years. Basketball, kind of self-explanatory. We got a lot of kids in basketball. I have two girls in soccer that are probably trying out for Team USA. Like, I have a girl who's on the Israeli national team for softball. It's like, literally, where you're going to go and hone in your skills, because we're focused.
And you guys are based in?
At Heritage Christian School is our flagship location. It's actually our last year being there. And then I'm at St. Monica and Santa Monica as well.
So you're going to Santa Monica after?
No, I'm there already. I have two locations.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're finding a new location for here in the Valley with Heritage Christian, not after this year. So we've been there for 10 years. That was, you know, kind of our flag. Like, that's what we're known for being, is that Heritage Christian. And so, but even that, I got 500 kids that have been through the program. And most of them, the bulk of them, are still in high school right now.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
So your numbers are going to be inflated, basically.
Oh, crazy. Like, 2025 class alone, like, Mozzie just committed to LSU. Gavin just committed to Iona. DeMarco Johnson's going to go somewhere. He's at Oak Hill now. Got Roman Fisher. Dylan Shaw is going to commit somewhere in the next week. Man, at 2025, and that's not even the crazy class. I still got Elijah Arenas, like, and then you got the whole 2027 class, which is crazy low, like,
yeah, crazy you had Sky loaded. Clark?
I did have Sky.
I hope Sky gets to UCLA.
I know, thank you. We're actually going to talk about this after the show. some things, but yeah, man, it's the place to be, like you said, IMG. We're the IMG of middle school in California, like. You get the best of the best. My trainers are all work with NBA players, or whatever sport they're in, or high level. We have connections to where you need to be to. We help you get into the right high school so you can project to get to the right college. All that. So, yeah. Great question. Man, thank you again for being your first interview in a long time. I really appreciate it, man.
Appreciate it,
man. And it shouldn't be your last. If anything, just come back here and let's just talk.
Let's do it.
24-second shot clock. Let the people know where they can find you and any messages you have for the people.
You can find me on Instagram at KJ Smith. Messages for the people, I would say, be confident in your path. Whatever you do, go 100%. If you fail, fail early, and don't be afraid to pivot.
Love it, man. Appreciate you again, brother. Karina, did you have anything today? All right. That's all we have for you today, folks. We'll see you next time. Peace.